Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 7, the verses 6 through 13. Exodus chapter 7, the verses 6 through 13. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" Then Moses and Aaron went on to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. This passage before us this morning is what we call a proleptic passage. What is a proleptic passage? A proleptic passage is a foreshadowing passage. It is a passage which records an event that is a foreshadowing of an event which will happen at a later time. In other words, what Pharaoh witnesses when the staff becomes a snake is what Pharaoh will see and experience at a later time. This passage is a picture of the future for Pharaoh and of the future for us. But for you to understand this better, it's important that you need to know and understand some background information of what is going on in our particular text this morning. In the ancient world, one of the most powerful nations on the earth was Egypt. And the Pharaoh of Egypt was the root and the heart and soul of the power of that nation. Pharaoh himself controlled the administrative, the legislative, the judicial, the military, the social, the financial, and even the religious functions of the entire nation. When Pharaoh spoke, it was so. And the people believed that it was Pharaoh and his power which controlled them and which controlled the nation. And as great as the nation was, so great was Pharaoh. Well, where did Pharaoh receive his power? Where did it come from? Why did the people look to him in such a way that they worshipped him and that they looked at him with such great awe? The Egyptians believed that Pharaoh's power came from the gods. That the gods of Egypt, of which there were many, equipped Pharaoh with his power. For example, the god Re, the sun god Re, he was the god of creation. And the Egyptians believed that Pharaoh created Egypt through the power that the sun god Re gave to him. But there were other gods of Egypt, and the Egyptians believed that these gods also gave Pharaoh some of their power. Pharaoh was a man who had power from a variety of different gods to accomplish and do the various things that he did. Yet of all the gods of Egypt that Pharaoh was associated with and that Pharaoh had received his power from, none was more powerful and obvious to the Egyptians than the gods of the snakes. Wadjet, the snake goddess, or cobra goddess, and Nekhebet, the vulture or the snake goddess. These two snakes were feared by the Egyptians. These two goddesses were the goddesses that ruled with power over the northern land of Egypt and the southern land of Egypt. These two goddesses represented all the power and might of Egypt, and these two snakes gave their power to Pharaoh. Why did the Egyptians look to these snake gods as being so powerful? Because the snakes, these cobras, were feared by the Egyptian people. They were terrified of these snakes. No creature upon the earth put as much fear into the hearts of the Egyptians as did these two snakes. Facing a poisonous cobra was the worst possible thing that any Egyptian could possibly face in his life. And because they were so fearful of these snakes, they worshiped them and they believed that these snakes had power. Now, how did Pharaoh receive this power? An ancient Egyptian record tells us this story. One night, Pharaoh had a dream, and in that dream, he saw two serpents. And when he woke up, these serpents were gone. One had been on his right, one had been on his left. And Pharaoh did not understand the dream, and so he asked the Egyptian goddess of these serpents, "What does this dream mean?" And the snake goddess told Pharaoh that they had given him the power, some of their power, to rule the land of Egypt. This power that was given to Pharaoh was demonstrated by what was upon his throne, his crown. Upon his crown were the pictures of two snakes. These two goddesses were upon his crown. And when a Pharaoh was crowned, these are the words he would say: "O red crown, O Anu, O great one, O magical, O fiery snake, let there be terror of me like the terror of thee. Let there be fear of me like the fear of thee. Let there be awe of me like the awe of thee. Let me rule, a leader of the living. Let me be powerful, a leader of spirits." Pharaoh desired to have the power of these snakes. Pharaoh desired that the Egyptian people would have the same terror and fear of him as they had for these snakes. When an Egyptian faced one of these cobras, he experienced tremendous terror and fear and reverence because of the power they believed these snakes held. Pharaoh wanted and desired the people to look to him in that same way, that his people would be terrified of him, that at his presence and seeing these two snakes upon his crown, they would be terrified and fall down in fear and in awe of the great Pharaoh. But not only did the Egyptian people desire to fear their Pharaoh, but they also had great hope that the enemy nations of the land of Egypt and the enemy rulers would fear Pharaoh in this same way. That the power of the cobras that Pharaoh had would scare off the enemies. That his power would be greater and more powerful. That no one would dare challenge Pharaoh and his power. And that the land of Egypt would be safe forever. And now into this room, into this place, comes the leaders of Israel. The leaders of a nation who desires to be free from Pharaoh's power. And our text tells us in verse 7, not that Moses and Aaron were powerful rulers and fighters and that they came in wearing their royal robes. But what does it tell us about them? Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The description of our text is the idea of two older men, not strong young warriors, two older men who have come to face Pharaoh and all of his power. These two older men are coming into his presence. But in verse 8 and 9, we read that the Lord has taken charge of this story. In verse 8, we read that the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" What goes on here in this particular passage is that God is telling Moses and Aaron what's going to happen. You don't see here that Moses and Aaron are going to have a dialogue with Pharaoh, is what happened in chapter 5, and they're going and they don't know how Pharaoh is going to respond. The author of our text has told us that God is in control of this story, that God himself will tell Pharaoh what to do, that God himself will control what Pharaoh will ask, that they will know in advance what they are to do and how they are to respond to Pharaoh. God is in control of this story, and God is going to bring about the solution. God will save Israel. Well, notice what Pharaoh asks in verse 9. "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' Pharaoh is going to demand a miracle. Pharaoh is going to demand to see the power of this God who is telling him that he must let the Israelites go. Pharaoh wants to see if this God is equal in power to Pharaoh and his power." And it's no coincidence then that what God tells Aaron to do is a direct challenge to Pharaoh's power. "Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake." The Pharaoh who has snakes upon his crown, the Pharaoh who the Egyptians believe has the power of snakes, who desires his own people and all the foreign nations to fear him because of his power and the power of these snakes that he believes he has possession of, is challenged by a snake. God is challenging Pharaoh at where Pharaoh is most proud. God is challenging Pharaoh at Pharaoh's strongest point. Pharaoh believes that the majority and the great strength of his power comes from a snake, and Pharaoh will be challenged by a snake. In verse 10, we read that Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded, and sure enough, Aaron threw down his staff in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh is being challenged by this snake, and Pharaoh sees this as no match. In verse 11, Pharaoh summons his wise men and his sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing by their secret arts. It was known in Egypt that the magicians would try to demonstrate their power, in particular by throwing down staves and turning them into creatures. It was known magic in Egypt that sorcerers and magicians could turn staves into snakes. And so when Aaron throws down his staff and it becomes a snake, Pharaoh is not afraid. He is going to show the God of the Hebrews that he can do the same thing, that he has the same power as the God of the Hebrews, and that the God of the Hebrews ought to fear him and his power. But they didn't do the same thing, did they? Because look what happens in verse 12. "Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs." The snakes that the Egyptians made, the snakes that the Egyptians created by their magic and by their sorcery, were not true snakes. If this was a battle that took place before Pharaoh, that the snakes would attack the other snakes, you would expect to find a cobra battle going on here, and that the snake that was produced by Aaron's staff would be a snake which would be attacked by all the cobras of Pharaoh that had been produced. But the Egyptians used magic. The Egyptians used trickery. The Egyptians are not creators. Satan is not a creator. He cannot create a snake as the God of the Hebrews can create a snake. And the snake of Moses and Aaron swallows up their staves. Pharaoh's power is small. Pharaoh's power is not such that it can destroy the God of the Hebrews. Pharaoh takes pride in his snakes. Pharaoh takes pride in the power that he believes that they have given him. But God's snake has swallowed Pharaoh's. Pharaoh's power is going to be overcome. Pharaoh's power does not exist. God's power is greater, and God will win this battle. And what Pharaoh has witnessed is a picture of what will happen in the future. Remember at the beginning we said that this is a foreshadowing passage, that this passage for Pharaoh points to something that will happen in the future. Take a look at Exodus 15. Verse 12. Exodus 15, verse 12. In Exodus chapter 15, Moses is writing a song over the deliverance that God has given his people through the Red Sea. And in Exodus 15, verse 12, we read, "You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them." This word swallowed connects us to what has happened with the snakes. Pharaoh has come and he has challenged God with his power. And in the following chapters, as the plagues begin to take place, Pharaoh will challenge again and again the power of God. We are going to face a battle between God and Pharaoh, between good and between evil, between one snake and another snake. And as Pharaoh tries to challenge God in all of his power, he will be struck down. He will be swallowed. He will be destroyed. What Pharaoh has witnessed in Exodus chapter 7 is what will happen to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's power will be swallowed up by that same staff. This same staff of Aaron is what will strike the Egyptians with their plagues. This same staff of Aaron will be the staff which parts the waters of the Red Sea. And this same staff of Aaron is the staff which will let down the waters, that will swallow up the Egyptians into death, into the sea. But how is Pharaoh responding to what he has witnessed? Does Pharaoh see this great God of the Hebrews, and that the God of the Hebrews and the power he has over snakes is greater than his power? Does Pharaoh repent and let the Israelites go? Verse 13, "Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said." When Pharaoh witnessed what happened to him, Pharaoh's heart becomes harder. When Pharaoh sees a picture of what's going to happen in the future, when Pharaoh encounters a power that is greater than himself, he hardens his heart. His heart becomes harder and harder against God. He does not listen to Moses and Aaron all the more. Pharaoh's witness of this scene hardens him against God. But this passage is not only foreshadowing something for Pharaoh, but this passage foreshadows something for us. This is a battle between good and evil. This is a battle between God and Satan. This is a battle between God over his people, over the forces of evil, over the evil forces of this world. And God is going to deliver his people. God is going to swallow up evil. God is going to destroy those who hold his people into slavery. And many years later, God would send his son. God's son came with greater power. Israel has their representatives, Moses and Aaron, who are demonstrating to Pharaoh their greater power. But our representative, God's son, came and demonstrated greater power. When he came and he encountered a demon-possessed man, he drove out the demon. When he came and he met a man with leprosy, he healed him from the captivity that the man was held into. When Jesus faced those who were struck with blindness and deafness, he gave them sight and hearing once again. Jesus came and he did miracles. Jesus came and he demonstrated greater power than the power that Satan had held God's people in. He demonstrated that he was greater. He demonstrated that he was more powerful. And he swallowed up their power. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we witness the picture of what's happening before Pharaoh, as we see the snake swallowing up the power of Pharaoh, we see what Christ has done on the cross. We see the victory that he has won over sin for his people. We see Satan's power being swallowed up and being destroyed. We see our representative, our Moses and Aaron, our Savior who has come and who has destroyed that power. We see his victory. We see the picture of what he has already won. We see and know a foreshadowing that Pharaoh has witnessed and has seen. And when we see this power, we see hope. We see that we are not bound to our sins. We see that we are no longer slaves. We see that in our daily struggle with sins, we have hope that there is a greater power. That there was a Savior who came, that had power over the forces of evil, that has given us a victory over sin. We see that the victory is his, that he has won it, and we believe in that power and trust in that power and know that power. And it is that power that changes our lives and gives us hope. But we also see in Exodus 7, a heart that is hard. A heart that does not recognize that power. A heart that will not recognize that power. A heart that thinks he is greater than that power. A heart that rejects that power. And we look at the passage and we say to ourselves, Pharaoh, we see what's going on. We know what is going to happen to you at the Red Sea. We know you are going to be destroyed. Why would you harden your heart against the power of the God who saves his people, the creator of this world? But we also think of ourselves. We know about Christ. We know the victory that he has won. We know that he has greater power than any other power we will ever face. But how often don't we desire to harden our hearts as Pharaoh did, to not believe it, to not see it, to not recognize the victory that he has won, to not recognize the final destruction which is doomed for those who hate God. Exodus 7 is calling us to trust in what Christ has done, to trust in the way that he has swallowed up the power of evil, to trust in the victory that he has given us, to not harden our hearts against him, but to use that power to strengthen us in our lives, to strengthen us in our daily walk, in our fight, in our battle against sin, to know that he was our representative, to know that he is our representative, to know that he has saved us, to know he has won the victory, and to see those whose hearts are hardened, to see what is doomed for those who hate Christ and his power. Exodus 7 is a picture for Pharaoh of the future. Exodus 7 is a picture for us of the future. Are we trusting in that power? Do we believe in Christ? Is his power the center of our lives? Amen. Father in heaven, as we have looked this morning at the book of Exodus, we again see the demonstration of your power. We see a mighty Pharaoh who believes that he is something, who believes that he is powerful, who believes that he has God's people in prison, being challenged, being humbled, knowing that he will someday be destroyed. And Lord, we know that our enemy desires to destroy us. We know that Satan has the power of death, and nothing would delight him more than to cause us to sin and to turn away from you and to harden our hearts against Christ. But Lord, we see from this passage the power of your Son. We rejoice that he has driven Satan out of our hearts, that he has driven out our enslavement to sin, and he has given us hope. Lord, help us as your people to live in this power, to rejoice in his victory, to rejoice that he has saved us, that we are his, that we can live a new life in him. And Lord, help us to fight against turning away from you. Give us the strength of Christ to forever live faithfully in humbleness, trusting in his death and resurrection and the victory that he has won. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.